Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View for Monday evening, January 2nd, 2012. Happy New Year, everyone. Hope you've had a good New Year. Hope you're hanging in there. It sure seems like 2011 went fast, but like I like to say, the older I get, the better I was. So I have a guest on that's going to join me today that I've recently met. I'll explain that. We're going to talk about Ron Paul and the election and the accusations and all this good stuff. So this is a pre-recorded interview. Now, if you do want to send me an email, which I can get to later on anyway, you can reach me at pkbbs2@gmail.com. pkbbs2@gmail.com. I will give my masterful answer or summary to your questions or comments. The office is going to connect me to our guest. And once again, to start the new year, a thank you to bbsradio.com for always promoting free speech and free thoughts. Because, as I like to say, as I'm fond of saying, alternative media goes places where the major media won't go. The corporate pro-Zionist, pro-Israel media won't go and likes to smear all of us. But as you know, or if you know anything about me, I fearlessly criticize the powers that be, regardless of who they are. And I'm famous, in my own mind, for being very critical, intellectually critical of Israel and Zionism and Jewish power. And I'm not afraid to put those cards out on the table. Meanwhile, some of my favorite intellectuals, especially the deans and leaders of the Austrian School of Economics, are the Jewish Ludwig von Mises and Murray Rothbard. So I think that gives me even more cred to say what needs to be said about what's going on now. So they'll let me know when our guest is on. As you know, the Iowa caucus for the Republicans is tomorrow, January 3rd. And it would seem to me that Ron Paul is positioned to take the lead, to win it. I hope he does. And the powers that be are upset about this. They don't want that to happen. The neocons, the military-industrial complex, the all-powerful Israeli lobby, they're all lined up against Ron Paul. And, of course, the smears are continuing, especially his supposed racial and or anti-Semitic writings. But he does the walk, and he does the talk, and he does the walk. So I think he'll get out of this pretty much unscathed. There's much more things, difficult, important things to worry about, especially over 20 million unemployed, a possible war with Iran, which we don't need. So these are things that, you know, to start the new year, it's the same pressing issues. And we need to sort this stuff out, because we don't need another war. The country's bankrupt. I talk about this all the time. They're telling me the lines are bad to connect my guest. I'll say to keep trying, please, as I multitask here a bit. I hope Ron Paul does take it all tomorrow, and hope he does well or takes New Hampshire, because this would get the ball rolling. It's funny that they want to ignore the results tomorrow, even I think the governor of the state. You know, these people who supposedly support democracy, then they want to thwart the will of the people. And, you know, this just makes no sense, and it shows you how desperate they are to knock Ron Paul out of the race, when Ron Paul advocates the true Jeffersonian constitutional position. That's the Jeffersonian constitutional tradition of limited constitutional government. So apparently the neocons and the Ron Paul haters have a problem with that. they say they like the Constitution, but when you really hold press them on it, if it doesn't go their way, then you know they squirm out of it. So you know, Ron Paul is very consistent about this. I think the only thing he changed his mind about over the years has been the death penalty. I myself sort of am opposed to it. You know, at least with a life sentence, you can, you know, if someone's found innocent later on, then you can, you know, they're not dead. At least they can be let go. So, and with that, it would seem like our guest is here. Renee, are you out there, my friend?
I'm here, yes.
Welcome to Third Stream View. Would you like some tea or coffee?
No, thank you.
Well, it's self-service anyway. So, Renee, we just met today on the phone. We've never, you know, seen each other eye to eye, but we met through a mutual friend. He's a friend of PK's, and he's been on the show before. He doesn't really want to come back on again because of the subject matter, and he's concerned about his family. And we know that the our friends, quote unquote, in the CIA, the FBI, national security, you know, they don't like shows like this. They don't like what I have to say, so they monitor all that. So for all you government pricks out there who are listening, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah. So, but Renee, I'm glad to hear that you're on board with the whole Ron Paul movement.
I've been with the movement till since 07.
07, good for you, my friend.
Yeah.
As I told
a little bit before the last election.
Right. Good for you. And as you know, when we spoke earlier, I told you that I was on board in 1988 when he ran. I worked on his campaign.
You've been there, yeah, long time.
See, and he's been very you know, consistent on everything. And before we go on, I want to patronize you for a moment. You're my first Latin guest to have on. I know you're American, but you have a Latin background. You're a Spanish-speaking person, so.
Right.
I'm very glad to have you on because we want to reach everybody. And Ron, as you know, Ron Paul is inclusive because he doesn't want to see people of all races continue to die in these stupid, needless wars.
That's right. There's a lot of, all kinds of people from all ethnic backgrounds fighting this war.
Yeah, and what they're fighting for is really a globalist empire. You know, I used to think they're defending our rights in the U.S., but I have a much different view now about how things are, what they're doing, what they're really asked to do, and what they're really doing.
Right.
Besides the fact that I've seen video of American and British troops guarding the poppy fields in Afghanistan as opium production is at an all-time high.
That's true, yeah.
And on my show, Renee, I don't know if you got to see my bio, but there's no political correctness here. There's no fear to talk about many subjects. I've not got to clash with anybody yet, which is something I've sort of been looking forward to because mostly we're on the same page. But I wish I could respond to some of Ron Paul's critics. But as you know, as far as the racist thing, I mentioned to you earlier, what kind of racist supports continued war, killing darker-skinned people on the other side of the world, if you will.
That's right. That's true.
So what brought you to Ron Paul? How did you must have seen signs or you were curious?
Well, it's really since, you know, Bush Sr. started talking about, you know, the New World Order and stuff, I said, no, something's wrong. I mean, what is he talking about, you know? And then I started doing some research and, you know, reading books. I have some good books I started to read. And I started to get into, and the more I read, and the more I got interested, and more books, And I think this time is really if people want to understand what's the real problem, why we having so many economic problems, and why there's no government solutions to these problems. You know, I think we are being prepared to fail. You know, the economy is being prepared to fail. And this time it's really important because it's really about your life and about your future and our children's future.
You're exactly right. I almost think it's deliberate what Obama's been up to. He's doing everything the opposite of what I would do.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Yeah.
Would you
I mean,
be able to...
Now,
Sorry, go ahead.
Yes. No, I think, individual liberty and freedom are really under attack.
You're right about that. Renee, would you mind, would you come to bring to mind maybe for us some of the books that you've read, maybe that
Oh,
shaped your.
yes. There's some important books. One of the best I can recall right now are John Perkins' books, The Economic Hitman.
I've heard of it, yes. Yeah, was that was
Yeah,
something
The
he used
Economic
to do,
Hitman.
right?
Yeah, he wrote three books. He wrote The Economic Hitman. He wrote The Secret History of the American Empire. And the third book is called Hoodwink. I mean, those were the books that really, wake me up to the big picture, because John Perkins was an insider, he was an economic hitman that traveled, different countries, and I mean, if you read this book, it's unbelievable the information in there.
So he's writing from his own personal experience, and then he's
That's
sort
right.
of he's no longer a criminal economic hitman.
He decided to write the books because of he saw his daughter and his family, and he said, "What kind of future are these children are going to have?" So he decided to write these books and come out with with the truth. And they offered him money to not to write the books, and he said, "Yeah." He took the money and gave it to charity, but he wrote the books anyway.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, Renee, I want to also mention something to you that this is what I believe, and I like to say this, is there are certain words that I totally reject because these words are a subtle and not so subtle attempt at censorship. And here's two of the main ones: conspiracy or conspiracy theory. I'm not interested in conspiracy theories. I'm interested in the facts of conspiracies. And
Conspiracy facts.
these are
Yes.
words that the globalists and the power at be, the status quo, they like to throw these words out. Also, racist, anti-Semitic, anti-American, treasonous,
Right.
unpatriotic. I reject all those words because my message is one of liberty, property, and peace, and I never confuse patriotism with loyalty to the government. Because, Renee, my primary loyalty is to the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of
The
Rights, and the
Constitution.
U.S.
Yes.
Constitution.
Yes, sir. We agree
So,
there.
thank you. And if you like some of the things I say or how they say them, how I say them, please use them yourself because we want to get the word out. And one of my only criticisms about Dr. Paul, whom I love, is when I always watch him speak, I just wish he would say a few things differently and clearly, but never to water down the message. Are you
We
familiar?
agree.
Thank you. Also, now you have a background in business and you're into real estate.
I mean, I've been in real estate for close to 20 years.
So you're a businessman. Are you sort of self-employed?
I'm a realtor, so I'm self-employed.
So you know what it means to run a business and meet a payroll.
Yes, I know, and I have seen, the devastation that this economic problem have on the economy firsthand, because I have known, personally, so many people that have lost their homes
Now
and lost their livelihood.
true, so do I. But this is more interesting because you being a realtor, now here's what I want to ask you. Back in 2007, and let's say even 2006, well, 2006 was sort of like the peak, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2007, I will say.
Okay. At that time, were you familiar with the destructiveness that the Federal Reserve causes and the trade cycle? Were you hip to any of that?
Oh, well, yeah, they created the bubble, the inflation that it was created on the housing market. I mean, on purpose, because I saw people, taking loans that they could not afford, and they were bringing this false information to the banks, and the banks say, okay, don't, no problem, and they were giving these loans that we knew that they could not, afford. So it was kind of a plan, implosion.
Well, what you say is correct, but let me add something. The masses, Renee, the masses blame the banks, and they are to blame. However, they are the symptom. The source is the central bank, the Federal Reserve, which they are all tied into. And it artificially lowers interest rates. It gives people the illusion that it's cheap to borrow money. The people who get the money first, defense contractors, welfare recipients, maybe home buyers, they spend the money before prices rise.
Yes.
Now, I studied business in college, and I've had economics classes. I never learned any of this. I didn't learn any of this till I, like you, read on my own. I read books on my own. I found other books, and, you know, I became part of the libertarian movement. And I'm largely self-educated on all this.
Yes, you have to. You have to read. You have to do it on your own because, I mean, there's a lot of information on the internet also.
Sure.
And if you do it on your own and you do the research, you find a lot of stuff that I mean, it will blow your mind away.
Oh yeah. You know, I was curious, Renee. How is the Ron Paul received? I know it's a generalization question, but how is as far as you can see, how is Ron Paul and his message doing with the Latin community?
It's mixed. I mean, because the Latin community usually votes Democrat.
Uh-huh.
And because most of them, they are not, they don't have the facts, you know, they don't, most of them don't read and don't get the information, they only get the information they get from the main, you know, the mass media.
Right.
So they just, if their parents were Democrat, they vote Democrat and they don't really, you know.
Right.
But some have awakened, have given information to friends and family, and it spreads, you know, and people are, you know, waking up to the truth, you know.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad that you are going in this direction because I can't support anybody else. There's no other direction for me to go. I mean, the man is telling the truth, and he's hated for it. He's hated by the status quo, and you see who opposes him, Renee. You know, pretty much all the media and the status quo media, talk radio, Fox News, all these neocons. So that's what he's up against. But, you know, they're sort of imploding, and he's standing firm.
He's standing firm. I mean, and his record is so clean, you know, that they don't have where to grab, you know. I mean, he has voted, you know, to lower taxes, the budget. I mean, so many good things that he has done, and his record is clean.
That's true. That's very true. And, you know, what can you say about a man? There's 535 members of Congress. What can you say about a man that sometimes or several times the vote has been 434-1?
That's right.
So that's,
I mean, it's amazing that yeah, he's been there so long, and he has not been corrupted like the other ones.
I have the same personality, the same feeling. I absolutely cannot be bought. I can't be intimidated or bullied by political correctness, and I have no desire to conquer other people or to run other people's lives. And that's how Ron Paul is, and hopefully his son Rand Paul will, you know, stand
amazing,
just as strong. But we need more people. We need more people elected who are Ron Paul Republicans.
Yeah, no, a lot of friends of mine have changed. They have raised just to vote for him. They have raised their
Republican,
you know, from Democrat to Republican. Yes,
so they could win the primary.
This is really, this time is really important. This is maybe the last chance we have to, you know, correct the course of the nation. It's about your life, and it's about your future, you know.
You're very
because,
correct.
I mean,
this
attack on the liberties we've been seeing and the freedoms are like, you know, it's subtle and persistent in every level of government today.
You're right.
This attack is being, you know, it's global. It's being coordinated by this small group of, you know, very powerful and wealthy men, you know, at the top.
And they
have, you know.
No, you're right. But the thing is, as you know, this country's broke. And these idiot Republicans, this bunch that wants smaller government and smaller taxes, at the same time, they want to provoke a war with Iran.
Yes.
They're crazy. They're the madness. Iran doesn't even have a nuke yet. Israel has 300 nukes. What are they worried about? Iran knows it'll get, you know, smashed if they ever did anything like that. So, but when you do have a nuke, usually the U.S. government doesn't bother you too much.
Right, right. No, you know, Iran has never in his history attacked any other nation. I mean, Iran is not really a threat.
You're pretty much correct on that. And on this show, you might not know this, but I'm very critical of Israel and Zionism and Zionist power. And you know, Israel is not our 51st state. And nowhere in the U.S. Constitution, Renee, does it say that the American taxpayers are supposed to continuously give Israel foreign aid and an endless supply of American-made murder weapons. I want to cut off all foreign aid. If you want to write a check and help somebody in a foreign country, God bless you, go for it. But leave everybody else alone to decide what their values are.
You know, that's true. I mean, they can give this money to Israel because of the fractional reserve banking cartel. They can print this money out of thin air, so that's why they can write the check to all these countries. I mean, it's because of the Federal Reserve.
That's right. And, you know,
no doubt.
The Israeli lobby is very powerful in the U.S. I know of no other foreign country that has such power. And they've even tried to shape it to say that, well, if you want to cut off foreign aid to Israel, you're anti-Semitic. Oh, when did that become part of the definition? Because you don't want to give unconstitutional money to other countries or people that you don't want to give money to? That's like saying, and you know this has happened, a lot of Obama supporters in the media and elsewhere have tried to say or shape all criticism of Obama as racism.
Yes.
When in fact, Obama may as well be a mixed race, blue blood, skull and bones member.
You're right about that, yeah.
Do you like where I'm coming from?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that because I've, you know, studied this stuff for years and I've always wanted to have my own show. In fact, I would love to have a show like Bill Maher has. But Bill Maher, for example, is a gatekeeper for the left. So is Rachel Maddow. That crowd, they're gatekeepers for the left. O'Reilly, Limbaugh, they're gatekeepers for the right. So what we have, Renee, is one government party with two heads or one bird of prey with two wings.
A two-party dictatorship.
Exactly.
Like Ralph Nader always said.
They don't like third parties, and they have a very narrow view of where we can disagree.
That's true. I mean, anybody disagrees, they will take them out. It's incredible.
Yeah, and see, and of course, I didn't know this till a couple of years ago, but the CIA is very much embedded into not only the media, but the universities, of course, in foreign countries. It's heavily embedded. So that's a problem. And I believe that the CIA whacked Kennedy. And, of course, they always need a patsy. So that's where Oswald comes from. You know, they need to be able to somebody to blame. Now, he might have been lightly involved or, you know, they used him to take the fall. That's how they do things.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know, so that's why I'm worried about Dr. Paul. If he goes all the way, I want him to be protected. I saw a black preacher on YouTube, guy about my age, late 50s, who said, we need to protect this man. We need to get our people around him to protect him wherever he goes.
If I were him, I would be, like having some, a good people like surround him or... I have seen some good bodyguards next to him all the time, so
hopefully they're
taking care of business.
Well, and the other thing that's scary is, you know, the CIA and Britain's MI6 and Israel's Mossad, you know, they work together. They are the masters of deception. You know, they'll take a whole airplane down to kill one guy. Of course, they deny it all, but they're not fooling me and they're not fooling you.
That's true, yeah.
So when I step back and look at things, our real enemy, if you will, is the federal government because it is 95% beyond what it is supposed to do.
Yeah, they are, I mean, a secret, you know, that nobody knows what's going on back there. I mean, not even the Congress or nobody knows. and they don't answer to no one. So it's that's very dangerous.
That's a very interesting observation you've made, Renee, because my question that's never been answered, and I'm sure you'll like this, is, Renee, where exactly does the CIA get its marching orders? I don't think from the president. And you know the word...
No, I don't.
You know the word Illuminati.
It's maybe a secret, you know, the secret government will give them the orders, not our government or our president.
A secret government within a government, probably. And no matter who's in office, they do the same crap.
That's true. They are the one that call the shots.
Yeah. So, and Ron Paul's platform, you know, they like to smear him and say he's trying to shut down and get rid of the military. That is such BS. You know, he's for a defense budget, but not a military budget that involves all these bases overseas, you know, what, 1,000 bases in over 130 foreign countries. That's not in our Constitution. Our Constitution calls for a defense. We get that. I get that. And we are strong for, you know, gun rights and gun ownership. We get that. But we don't get empire. That is not what our country is supposed to have, an empire.
I mean, and you see these laws they're signing now, you know, the National Defense Authorization Act and all that. I mean, it's unbelievable, I mean, that the president is signing something like that. And this maybe this are getting he's getting his order from someone, because, I mean, this I think it's, this group, you know, called an oligarchy, you know, a group of, you know, powerful folks that they have hijacked the government.
Oh, you're right. You know, and don't you think that Bush would have signed it too? The same thing.
Yeah. No doubt.
Obama's supporters, they give him a pass on this stuff. He's tripled the drone attacks. You know, he hasn't closed Gitmo, and now he's signed this. He's pro Patriot Act. I didn't vote in 2008 because I couldn't stand Obama and I couldn't stand McCain, and I knew what people feel about Obama for the last couple of years. I knew this would happen. He was groomed by Brzezinski. I don't know if you know who Brzezinski is, but he's one of the trilateralists.
Yeah. He's one of the ones, you know, in the oligarchy group that controls that. They are the one that give the orders.
Exactly. He's one of the globalists, and I'm against the globalists. I'm for free trade. I'm for travel. I'm for business and commerce. But I'm not for world government. I'm not for giving up our sovereignty. I would withdraw from the UN, the IMF, the World Bank, the Export-Import Bank, NAFTA, CRAFTA, the World Trade Organization, all this globalist stuff. Because all these people, like Obama and the Bushes and these Congress people, they all retire wealthy and or as millionaires, and they want us to do their bidding for them. But the people are waking up.
The people are waking up, and the attack is getting worse. I mean, we have to try to give people solution. I tell people to get involved, because this is getting really bad, really fast.
You're right, and I think this year is going to be worse than last year.
I don't have any doubt. Yeah, I mean, Obama was put there by, you know, a group of powerful individuals, and, you know, his problem is that most of the Americans won't go along with their plans.
Right. Well, let me get go ahead.
I'm listening. Yes, I'm listening.
No, I said go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. You know, they were not counting with the Internet. You know, thanks to the Internet, people are educating themselves, you know, in order to defend our homeland from this Marxist.
You're right. Thank goodness for the Internet. Uh-huh. But as you know, what are they trying to do to the Internet?
Uh-huh. The SOPA. Yeah, they're trying to...
They want to control that, too.
Yep. Because they know.
They put China down.
Yep.
You know, they put China down for censorship, but they're wanting to do the same thing here, or have the ability
to
do it here.
The same thing here, yes. Little by little.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's something we have to stand opposed to. Let me give you my quick rundown of Obama, which I like to say. Oh, for me, Obama is Bush 3 with a makeover on steroids. Just like Bush, Obama serves he serves Wall Street, the big banks, the military-industrial congressional complex, and the all-powerful Israeli lobby.
No doubt, no doubt, yeah.
And of course, we are criticized when we mention this, but I don't care. I deflect the criticism. So many people agree with me on these the way I've framed it. And you know, the U.S. had no enemies in the Middle East until 1948, when Israel was violently imposed on Palestine. And it is my own personal opinion that the Israel's Mossad had a very large part in 9/11, and maybe some elements of the CIA. And I'm proud to be a truther. So yes, I support Ron Paul, but those of us who support him that others don't like or think we're kooks, they like to call us out and say, "See who Ron Paul's supporters are." Well, I got news for them: the real kooks, Renee, are the Democrats and Republicans who've got us into this mess, and now they want us to trust them to get it out of the mess.
I don't think we can get out of the mess that easily anymore.
Have you ever looked at it this way? I don't know how much you know about Hoover or FDR, but Bush, in a sense, is Hoover, and Obama's FDR. Hoover was really the architect and the designer of the New Deal. FDR took it further.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. So Obama is to Bush what FDR was to Hoover. Obama's spending and growing the government and expanding the wars at a faster pace than Bush. Ayn Rand said back in the 60s, the only difference between modern conservatives and liberals is that conservatives bring socialism at a slightly slower pace.
Right, right.
So for those people who refer to Obama as a Marxist, I sort of disagree. Yes, he's for that leftist background, but he's more of a Mussolini-type corporatist, where they blur the line between big business and government. So we as Ron Paul Republicans, we must always stand firmly against crony capitalism, corporate welfare,
right.
and tax-funded bailouts.
When we talk about fascism and communism, they are usually similar. I mean, you can read that on that book wrote by Edward G. Griffin, the
Creature from the Jekyll Island.
Yes, that one. That book is awesome.
Yeah.
They explain how.
Go ahead.
No. He has some good explanation how those two extremes are fairly similar.
They're very similar. In fact, you know, the Federal Reserve System, I don't know if you're familiar with the 1848 Communist Manifesto. It has 10 planks at the back. It's a small little book, but there's 10 planks to achieve the communist system. Are you familiar with them?
Yes, yes. I don't remember now all, but I'm familiar with.
Well, good for you, Renee, because most of those are already in our political system. The second plank calls for a progressive graduated income tax. Gee, I wonder what country has that. The fifth plank calls for a central bank with state monopoly capital issued. So they want a central bank. So the Federal Reserve is the fifth plank of the Communist Manifesto. And the other planks have to do with the Department of Agriculture and all this other government gobbledygook that they forced upon us.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so I'm glad it's fun to meet people like you who are hip to this stuff. I first got hip to this stuff in 1978 because I'm a musician. I was playing in a band, and the leader was an older guy, and he was a John Bircher member. Well, he hip me to this stuff about the globalists, the Illuminati, the Trilateral Commission. So I've known about all this since the late 70s. And
that far back, wow.
Yeah, and guess what? You know, they put down the John Birch Society, but a lot of the things they talked about, world government, the globalists, trilaterals, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations.
They were right on the money, yes.
Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers. Well, that's right. And, you know, Rush Limbaugh or that other crowd, they like to tease us or put us down or anybody who's, oh, yeah, get up, you know, hide under your beds. The CFR's coming or the Bilderbergers. Well, I got a way to prove you, Renee, how right we are about this. Because guess what, Renee? If we could shut down the UN, the World Trade Organization, NAFTA, CAFTA, World Bank, International Monetary Fund, What groups would scream the loudest? The Bilderbergers, the Trilateralists, the Council on Foreign Relations.
You could be right behind those, yes.
They'd be angry as hell to shut those down.
That's why they don't like Mr. Ron Paul.
That's right, because he speaks truth to power and he can't be bought.
Uh-huh, that's true. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and you know that the largest military support, I mean, it goes to Ron Paul. Ron Paul has the largest military support of all the candidates. I mean,
right.
So they're over there. They know what's going on.
That's true. And, you know, but his opponents, they keep ignoring that, or they poo-poo it like it's not important, you know. And censor, you know, the military over there, they even censor websites they can look at.
Yeah, I mean, and with this new law that they're trying to pass, it's going to be tough. I mean, the SOPA.
Yet the military is supposedly defending our rights to free speech, but they don't even have it.
Right.
And if you know much about the history of Afghanistan, I'll give it to you in a nutshell. That's always been a very tribal country with no strong central government. The British took it on the chin there twice. The Russians, Alexander the Great couldn't conquer them. So it's been referred to as Vietnamistan. You mean the military, the U.S. Army, doesn't realize that it's called the graveyard of empires for a reason?
And they don't pay attention to history, and they go back and try to do the same thing.
They think Uncle Sam comes in there as a cowboy, and they're going to kick ass and fix things. Well, I got news. Those people are not afraid of our military. They'll wait it out. They'll fight guerrilla warfare. And
yes.
I don't think there's anybody in the U.S. military who's brave enough to go stand next to somebody and blow themselves up.
Wow. Yeah, no, these people are there for the long haul, yeah, no doubt.
You give me the toughest. Sorry, yeah, you're right.
No, I mean, and who's behind, who's financing all this stuff? Well, the banks. They are behind all these wars.
The Federal Reserve and the military-industrial complex, which, here's another observation I made about the military-industrial complex, Renee, and that is, yes, we need to have a military. We need the things to defend our country. We get that. But way beyond that, the military-industrial complex, all these corporations, they're sucking away precious investment capital for consumer goods and consumer production that the private market desperately needs.
Yeah, no, I mean, what is the last numbers? They say like 60% of, I mean, 60 cents from every dollar goes to the Pentagon now. I mean, I think it's a lot of money. I mean, they're sucking our life away from the U.S.
That's true, and you know, so the Cold War has been over since about 91. Okay, so now they got a new bugaboo, and that's the Islam or Muslims, you know, the demonization of Muslims. Now, yes, there's some bad people in every group of people. Believe it or not, there's some bad Latin people. There's bad white people. There's bad black people.
There's bad, yeah.
In every race, there's bad, or we get that. But there's things that piss these people off. I know why they're upset. They're not upset at you and me because we go to McDonald's. They don't hate us for our freedoms. They hate us because we got bases over there for years. We prop up Muslim dictators. We support unquestionable support of Israel.
Yeah.
And this has come back to haunt us. And this discussion, oh, you're anti-Semitic, you're anti-American. BS, show me in the Constitution where you get the authority to do that.
We agree there. I mean, they hate us because we've been poking their eyes for a long time.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, here's a comparison I made. You know, martial arts masters, they're all badasses, but they don't go picking fights. And if any of those martial arts masters do go picking a fight, they are being dishonest to their art.
That's right.
You know, so that's why there's this blowback. And Ron Paul has been exactly right about this. As I like to say, Ron Paul is just as correct about U.S. foreign policy and the wars as he has been about the economy, the Federal Reserve, sound money, and the drug wars.
he's been right on the money since, I mean, since he started, you know, I think in the 80s when he started talking about the Federal Reserve, he's been right on the money.
That's right, because he came upon Austrian economics in the 60s. And if you have the chance to read some Austrian economics, when you read Ron Paul or you listen to Ron Paul, you're getting Austrian economics. You know, I would suggest, you know, they are the architects of our school, Ludwig von Mises, Murray Rothbard, and we have some fellow travelers. A good book you should read, it's a small book, you may have read it already. It was written in 1849 by Frederick Bastiat, the French liberal, and it's called The Law.
The Law.
The Law.
Not familiar with that one, but I'm going to look it up.
Great little book, 1849. The Law by Frederick Bastiat. He was a great French liberal. And you know, Renee, the word liberal was a great word. It still is a great word, but it's been perverted by socialists. They've taken that word to mean, you know, left-wing or socialist. Well, that's not what liberalism meant. Liberalism used to mean liberty, property, and peace, free trade, armed neutrality, those sort of things. But they've appropriated it for themselves. So I would be a classical liberal of the, you know, Jeffersonian, the Manchester School of England, liberty, property, and peace. There are some very good Latin authors, too, who write in this way. I think De Soto, the Peruvian, Hernando De Soto.
Yes.
And so there's Spanish authors, there's some French authors, and the ideas of liberty and libertarianism you know, that's out of the bottle. That genie's not going back in the bottle.
Yeah, that's true. I've been, you know, like the more you read, I mean, it's better for everybody because there's a little bit of information on every book, so you can get, you know, something that you didn't get in one book, you get it in the next one. So it's good to keep yourself reading and educating yourself.
That's for sure,
because
Renee.
The situation is really serious.
Oh, definitely. And you know, history and geography are the lost subjects in America.
Uh-huh. History is very important.
Have you heard this one? War is God's way of teaching Americans geography.
Oh, yeah. No, I never heard that one before.
It's pretty sad that it even has to be said.
Yeah.
You know, and
we don't learn from history.
Yeah, I like to say, Renee, that you'll appreciate this. I'm an American, Renee, who actually knows world geography.
Mm-hmm. Most people don't.
I actually know world history, and I'm an American. Renee, I'm an American who realizes that the rest of the world knows more about America than America knows about the world. And in many times, people outside of America know more about America than Americans know about America.
Well, that's maybe because, I mean, in the schools, we've been like dumbing down on purpose. You know, people don't know their history. I mean, because they've been in school, they don't teach you some things they you don't get in school. That's why you have to, you know, be and study and read and get on the internet and look up information because you don't get much of this important information in the schools.
Boy, are you right about that. I actually believe it's a deliberate dumbing down.
I take it further,
Renee. I say that education is far too important to be left up to government. I'd rather see private schools springing up everywhere or at least the public schools to private teachers because that way, you know, especially in the inner city or poor areas, there should be no barriers to setting up a school and teaching it as you choose. And the parents will decide and prices will come down because the government schools indoctrinate students into statism. And that's the problem. Now, if it's on the local level, that's even less of a problem, local. But there's no need, Renee, for a Department of Education, a federal Department of Education. Because, Renee, every state already has a Department of Education. Every state already has a Department of Transportation and a Department of Agriculture. We don't need all this federal nonsense.
When Ron Paul speaks about this, people don't understand what he's saying because, I mean, people don't have the education to understand what he's trying to say.
That's true, because and some of that is because Americans are preoccupied with you know, video games or sports or a lot of other stuff. They want, you know, immediate gratification, and you know, they don't want to put in the time. Well, you know, meanwhile, it affects all of our lives. So it's a minority of us, actually, like you and myself and those other activists. We're the ones who get the word out. We're the ones who keep pushing, and we have to, you know, never let up, because the forces against us are very strong.
Keep up a good fight.
Exactly, exactly. So I'm glad that you're doing what you can to hip people to, you know, what's going on, because the message is coming. I really hope he wins tomorrow. But one thing that kind of scared me was that supposedly, I don't know if you heard this, they've moved the vote counting areas somewhere, or something about the vote counting. Have you heard that?
Well, I read some information on the internet. I don't know if it's true, but they say that the people counting the votes is a private military contractor from Israel.
Well, so, interesting. How interesting you should mention that. Because guess what?
Yeah, I mean,
Israeli firms were involved in security for the World Trade Centers also.
Yeah, they're everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. So it's very suspicious. I mean, they don't talk about this on the news, but
I've been studying this for several years now. Actually, almost 10 years now. Well, guess who can? And people say this is anti-Semitism or this is BS. But look who controls the major media. And cable and the major newspapers. It's Zionist Jews with a very pro-Israel slant.
Oh, yes.
And I'll tell anybody to their face. That's what it is. Renee, black men dominate the NBA, don't they?
They do now, yeah.
Okay, but I don't hate black men. They dominate the NBA. They're the, you know, when you see it, black men dominate the NBA. I don't hate them. I'm just telling you the truth. If it was Latin men who dominated, I'd say, hey, Renee, Latin men dominate the NBA. Okay. Zionist Jews dominate the media. There's a very powerful Israeli lobby in this country. And, you know, I'm an American firster. I'm an America firster, Renee. My loyalty, my patriotism is to America, not to any
first
other country, especially Israel. But you won't hear
yes,
this.
It's a big problem, yeah.
Very big problem, my friend, and you won't hear this. You won't hear this discussion on the major media. But I like to inform people about this. Here's another thing I've learned about Jews, and this is a generalization, but I think I'm very correct: is that generally, most Jews, the majority of Jews, as I know it, are either purely secular, and/or agnostic, and/or atheistic. They practice their religion as a tradition. Israel was founded by white, European, and Russian socialist, communist, atheist Jews. And here's the ultimate hypocrisy, Renee. I've made it into this sentence. God gave us this land, shouted the atheist Zionist Jews. Well, if you're an atheist, how does God give you the land?
They contradict themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Now, this is not to take away from their brilliance in music and science and medicine. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that criminal clique of Zionists who have hijacked the Jewish religion, and they hide behind it. And it is mostly secular. It is not. They are not the people of the book, if you will, the Old Testament. That's not what it is. So their persona is, you know, persecution and you know, but there's reasons why things happen.
Everything is planned. That's what FDR said. Everything you see happening is not by chance. Everything has a plan behind it.
You're right. And as much as I hate FDR, I have to agree with him on that. FDR, who maneuvered America into World War II, they had broken the Japanese code, and he did acts of war against Japan by embargoing their oil and raw materials. This is what they did, because he wanted a backdoor way into get into World War II in Europe. So, I mean, we're covering a lot of topics today, but it's very interesting to discuss this stuff, and you see how things happen for a reason.
There's a reason. It's not by chance, no doubt.
No doubt. They're doing it now to Iran. They're doing it now with the sanctions and the embargoes. Well, that hurts the poor people. That hurts the children. It doesn't hurt the people in power. They've always got enough to get by. But that's what they're doing. They're trying to do all these pinpricks to Iran. And, you know, Iran's going to fight back. And, you know, there's no reason to do this with Iran. I don't want to see any Americans die. I don't want more taxes to go into these ridiculous, stupid wars.
There's a plan behind that, too, because, I mean, as you know, it was planned, I mean, many, many years ago that they were going to invade these countries. I mean, that was said by General Wesley Clark on TV. Even on TV, he said that they had this plan even before 9/11. And they mentioned the country by name.
Yeah. That was their excuse. And you know, at the first Bush cabinet meeting in January or February 2001, the new Treasury Secretary, I forget his first name, his last name's O'Neill. You might know about this. He was aghast to hear them talking about their anger towards Iraq and wanting to invade Iraq. You know, which, what did that have to do with the new first cabinet meeting? But that's what was discussed there. So, you know, when 9/11 came around, they got their, you know, the neocons got their wish to invade the Middle East. They want a greater Israel and a further role for the military-industrial complex.
And one of the first, I think one of the main purposes is that the banking system on those countries is a private banking system. They don't belong to the globalist cartel. So they want to get away. They want to take over those countries because of they have their private like Gaddafi had. He has his private banking system, and here in the West they didn't like that. You know, so they had that plan for a long time.
That's right. They want to crush him. And you know, Gaddafi, I didn't like him. He was not a nice guy. But you know, as far as dictators go, he was pretty good for Libya. And he wanted to put Libya.
He was not a threat. He never attacked no one.
No.
He was even friends with, I mean, you see the last photos of Obama shaking hands with him. Everybody, he was friends. I mean, I think he didn't follow some instruction, and then we went to get him because he was going to come up with this new currency, the gold dinar.
Well, yes.
And the gold dinar, it was going to destabilize the dollar in the area because they were going to start, you know, doing... They were going to start trading oil and different things on this new currency.
Yes, we were on the. He wanted to set up a gold standard for Libya and maybe Africa.
Right. Yeah. The North Africa, those countries, they were going to start, you know, and they over here, they didn't like that at all.
this is another thing that upset the globalists because Iraq and Iran, you know, around 2000 or so, they saw what was happening to the dollar, so they wanted to use euros.
They want to separate themselves from yes.
So this all ties in with it.
Saddam Hussein started trading oil in euros, and then right. I think some months after he started doing that, we went to get him and take him out.
Well, you've done your homework, Renee. I'm glad to hear all that. And you know, as I'm fond to say, Iraq was much better off under Saddam. He wasn't a nice guy, but he kept a lid on sectarian violence. He fought against fundamentalism. Fought against fundamentalism for over 30 years. There was a small...
He had the situation under control, yes.
Yes. And what did Bush do to Iraq in his federal government? He destroyed the small Christian community of Iraq. He destroyed the small Jewish community of Iraq. He caused the plight of millions of refugees, and the federal government's military, even back in 91, they deliberately bombed and destroyed Iraqi sewage treatment, water treatment plants, and power treatment plants.
The same thing they did to Gaddafi. They destroyed the water pipes that come from that big water reservoir in the north of Africa that Gaddafi built to take water to Tripoli. They destroyed that, and they destroyed the factory that made those. That's one of the first things they did.
I'm ashamed.
I mean, against international law, you know, it's incredible.
Yeah, I'm just so ashamed of it, but there's nothing we can do about it except to keep getting our message out, to keep doing shows like this, to support Dr. Paul, and to continue meeting new people or who are interested and never backing down, because Ron Paul doesn't back down. So, neither should
We
we.
have to back him up. Yeah, we have to back him up 100%.
Exactly. He was down here 2 years ago, actually going on 3 years ago, and my band opened for him. It was a Campaign for Liberty
Oh, yes.
function, and I got to introduce him. So that was good. So I'm glad that he's still in there, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I am problemed. I'm troubled with this. If it's an Israeli firm counting the votes or this and that, I don't trust that at all. I don't like this new electronic voting, what deballed system, whatever. I think I prefer the paper ballots. I don't trust these
Yeah, no, we
bastards.
should go back to the paper ballot because it's been proven that the machines are a big scam. I mean, they don't work. They have been, they don't. I know people personally that have gone and voted. I mean, last time, last election, and the voter was flipped, to the other side, right there in front of their faces.
It's just hard to believe all this crap's happening in our country. But what I've learned in the last year or two is that so much of the news is staged or it's manipulated largely by the CIA and the willing media, the pro-war, pro-Zionist media.
They're not
And
news anymore.
that's what's happening. But I'm glad that there's good people like you who've done his homework and, did some reading on his own because you can't trust the schools and you can't trust the media.
No. I mean, I know people personally that come from Eastern Europe and other countries in Europe and South America, and then when they see the news here, they cannot believe it. I mean, how can? Because they see it. They come from other countries where the propaganda is big, and they see it here, but we don't see it. I mean, it's incredible.
It's interesting you say that because I've heard people say that from these countries. I've seen them on YouTube or I've heard comments here and there. I thought I escaped from socialism or communism, and I see it sort of festering in America now.
But the propaganda here is very, very sophisticated. It's not that, it's really sophisticated. I mean, they do the homework too. They doing this for a living, and they know how to, get into people's mind and.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me, speaking of sophisticated, Renee, getting into your mind, let me give you three definitions here. Let me give you my definition of Iraq. Iraq stands for idiotic Republican authorized quagmire. Or Israeli required American quagmire. Would you
Question.
like to know what the definition of Iran is?
Tell me.
Israel requires American naivety. And one more, which is probably one of my favorite ones. Do you know what AIPAC is?
APAC, yes.
It's all
I
capitals. Do you know
know
what that organization is?
it. It's the Republican something. I forgot right now.
I'm sure you've seen
Refresh my mind.
Capital AIPAC,
Yes.
something like American Israeli Political Affairs Committee.
Something like that, yes.
But I don't call it that. I call it the true definition of AIPAC stands for American Israeli Parasites Against the Constitution.
That's a good name for it.
So, and with that, Renee, I want to thank you for coming on to Third Stream View. I really enjoyed talking with you, especially because you're so well informed.
Same here, same here. I appreciate you. I mean, you call me to do this little interview.
And I'm glad our mutual friend recommended you, so I'm going to thank him for that off air. But so PK really admires you and thanks you for coming back on again. So with that, I'm going to say good night, everybody. And I'm here again every Monday evening on Third Stream View, Station 2 on bbsradio.com at 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, and 11:55 Eastern. Talk to you again next week. Happy New Year, everyone. Fight the power. Support Ron Paul. This is your humble host, PK, saying good night.